Talkin' Sopranos, the popular podcast, is coming to Chicago next month, and so is Steve Sciarippa, who does the podcast with Michael Imperioli. Michael, of course, was Chrissy, and Steve was Bobby Bacala. Steve, good morning. It's going to be great having you in Chicago. How are you?
How are you?
Well, you know what? We said you're going to be on today, and listeners started texting questions, and people want to hear about your recipe for pasta sauce, and also a lot of folks like your Instagram page with your dog.
Willie's more famous than I am. Willie boy.
Steve Sciarippa, you got a big break when you were in Casino. Is that what started it all for you?
Well, you know, I had been the entertainment director at the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas. And I was dabbling in the acting in Vegas, you know? A couple lines here, a couple lines there. And I had done quite a bit of stuff. And then Casino came to town, and I got two lines. And if you slow down the DVR and turn up the volume, you could barely see me and hear me yell out. And that's where I got my SAG card. Joe Pesci helped me get my SAG card.
Yeah, Screen Actors Guild.
And then I had been working and kept my day job. And I would go out to L.A., and someone was kind of helping me, and started nailing a few small roles in movies and TV shows. And then I came to New York for a wedding, and I auditioned for The Sopranos. And that was it. I moved back to New York. You know, I had been living in Vegas. My wife and kids were born in Vegas, and
we should
like hitting the lottery, you know?
Yeah, we should mention that we talked about your pasta sauce. We need to point out that when you played Bobby Bacala on The Sopranos, you did wear a fat suit, didn't you?
I wore a fat suit the first 2 years, and then I guess my third season I got fat enough on my own, they let me take it off. That was the thing, so I get the script, and there's all these fat jokes, you know, you're a calzone with legs, and you should start to seriously consider salads, and I'm saying, did they hire the wrong guy, because I'm not that much bigger than Jim, you know, Gandolfini, so the joke's kind of, then they call me, said, oh, you got to come in, we need you here, like, in 2 days to get fitted for a fat suit, so that's what I wore for season 2 and 3. I wore a fat suit, and, it was fine with me. It was kind of funny, Uncle Junior, Dominic Keane, as he kept saying, use your belly. Use your belly in the scene. Use your belly.
When you found out they were going to kill off your character, it must have been a pretty sad day for you.
Bob, because, it was the last 9 episodes. So it was like kind of, if you made it to the end, all bets were off. I mean, the show was ending. You were going to get paid, whether they killed you or not, And, I made it to the next to last episode. So, he came to my house, David Chase. Usually you got a phone call or, you were on the set and he would say, can I talk to you for a minute? But he actually called, and for whatever reason, I don't know if he was in the neighborhood, but he said, I'm on your way. His assistant called. He got on the phone. He said, where are you? I said, in my apartment. He says, I'm on my way. I'm on my way here. I mean, I barely spoke to the guy, And so I opened the door, and he said, I guess you know why I'm here. It was kind of like a real hit. I went, yeah, I guess so, And then we sat down, and he was very vague about how it was going to happen. And, I thanked him, and I said, thank you for changing my life. I hope you were happy with, my work. And, and that was it.
I love the book you wrote with Michael Imperioli. Woke Up This Morning, The Definitive Oral History of The Sopranos. And judging by what you guys wrote and what I have heard, everybody loved James Gandolfini, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. He was just a good guy, not a guy without problems, but just a good guy. Nothing like Tony Soprano, He was a music-loving Birkin stock wearing guy, kind of like a hippie, you know, and very generous, you know, guy, and cared. He actually cared about the crew and the people, and, you know, he had a lot of pressure on him. I mean, he was working 16-hour days, you know, barely had a life, you know. Don't get me wrong, he was compensated for it, so I, you know, people go, well, that's what he was, you know, and I get it. But just a good guy, you know, really. And we had a lot of laughs and a lot of fun over the years. I mean, I got the word that he had passed away, I mean, we were just literally devastated. I mean, I don't know. He just seemed to me the kind of guy that would live forever, you know. He was that kind of guy, you know, that you lean on. So, yeah, it really broke us all up, you know.
He certainly was great in The Sopranos, as were you, Steve Sciarippa. Bobby Bacala, along with Michael Imperioli, Christopher, they will be in Chicago talking Sopranos. That's their podcast, September 6th at the Athenaeum Theater. And originally, you were talking about your audition for The Sopranos, Steve Sciarippa, but weren't you trying out, or didn't they look at you for the part of the FBI agent, Skip, at first?
Yeah, Skip, originally Skip Lipari. That's what I read for. You know, Christopher Walken's wife, Georgianne, was the casting director. So when I went up to the office, I had prepared that scene, and then she said, you know, I don't see you as an FBI agent. Read this. And so she gave me, you know, the sides, the role of Bobby Bacala, and she gave me, you know, about 5 minutes, and I looked it over, and, you know, and then she said, okay, that wasn't bad. Now, you know, what have you done? Blah, 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 blah. You know, so I had a resume. Shows you not to lie on your resume. You know, I had my credits with the few that I had, and that was it. She said, well, if you, you know, if I could get you in front of David, would you come back? I said, I guess so, you know. I really wasn't sure. I went back. My wife encouraged me to go back, you know. And that's the kind of stories, you know, Bob, like it's what we're doing in the theater on September 6th. It's not a podcast. It's me and Michael. We have an opening act, a comic, and we have some prepared questions, and we tell behind-the-scenes stories like that. You know, all kind of comedy driven. It's very funny. If you're a Soprano fan, you don't want to miss it. We've done it all over the country in Australia, and we're touring the UK in February, and we show clips and slides throughout the show. It really is a lot of fun. So it's not a podcast per se, you know. It's you know, like we tell stories that only two people that were there would know, you know.
Yeah, sounds great. I get it. Are you guys still doing the podcast as well?
You know, we had stopped in 21 because we did every episode, every scene of every episode we did. We had over 60 guests, writers, directors, almost all the actors. David Chase came on 3 times. And then we just did one about 2 months ago. Just a little catch-up one, what we've been up to and stuff like that. You know, there was really nothing else to talk about. We kind of, we went over the latest one, went over our favorite scenes. But, you know, there wasn't much to talk about. We went, we had like 90 episodes. There was only 86 episodes of The Sopranos. So you went through every scene of every episode. We kind of covered all the bases.
Fans can't get enough, though, can they?
No. You know, the whole thing is there's a new generation of people. Of kids that were too young to watch it are now in their teens, late teens, and their 20s, and there's a whole resurgence. There's actually more people watching The Sopranos now than when it first came out.
Unbelievable.
Because it was only HBO at the time had 11 million people. And now it's streaming. It's all over the world, literally all over the world, you know. I just got a message this morning on Instagram from somebody. We have a show here in New York Saturday night from Istanbul.
Wow.
He's coming to the show. I mean, you know, so there's a resurgence of younger people, and now with social media and Twitter and Instagram, you know, it's a whole other world out there. The show lives on, you know, as it should.
Yes, it
because
should.
Even though I was a part of it, I was a big fan of it.
Oh,
you know?
Who wasn't? The greatest show. Yeah, Steve, your family, I know, is Italian. How did they react to The Sopranos?
They loved it. Yeah, they loved it. You know, they got a little. You know, my personal family loved it, and my friends loved it. I mean, almost All Italians like it. There was a little backlash somewhere along the show saying it made Italians look bad and all that nonsense, but this is a slice of Italian life that exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's not fantasy. This exists. This world exists. But what I did like, what they did, and I think why the reason the show was so popular, is one of the few times you see a mob boss, a mob family, his family, mm-hmm. and he had problems like everyone else, his kid, his wife, you know what I mean? You know, he was just a guy, you know, that had this terrible job, of course. He was a terrible guy, though we rooted for him. And we saw his family dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, it's very interesting. And it's much more complicated show than just a mob boss that kills people, you know?
Yeah, and the humor in it was also awesome.
It's almost a comedy.
Yeah.
You know, you go back, it's life a lot funny, you know?
And everybody is still talking about the ending. Was Tony Soprano done away with? Did the family survive? How do you answer that one, Steve?
You know, for many years, maybe it was wishful thinking, Bob, I thought Tony Soprano was alive and well and living in New Jersey. You know, I always thought that. And then, I don't know, once we took a deeper dive and I rewatched the show, because I hadn't watched the show in, you know, since it ended, you know, I never watched the show. You know, I saw it when it first came out. That was it. And then when we did the podcast, you had to watch it two or three times each episode, you know. I kind of think Tony Soprano died. And I don't think his family did. I think he did. And, yeah, maybe I'll switch back. We'll never know. We'll never know the real answer. And I don't know if there is a real answer. I think David Chase left it up to us to determine, you know, what happened. But I think he died. Yeah, I think so.
To be continued here in Chicago, September 6th at the Athenaeum Theater. It's Steve Sciarrippa, who is Bobby Bacala, along with Michael Imperioli, Christopher, sharing stories. You can ask questions. It's a great 90-minute show, and all of the information and the ticket info is available online, AtheneumCenter.org, AtheneumCenter.org. Steve, great pleasure to talk to you. I'm a big fan, and I'm wondering how you're getting along with Janice these days. You know what I mean?
Janice is great. Edith Tatar is a wonderful actress. I saw her, you know, about a year ago we had a little reunion. There was a documentary came out, and there was a thing in the theater, and I got to see everybody. And especially my favorite guy is Dominic Chianese. He's 94 years old.
Uncle.
94 years old, and he's as sharp as can be.
June.
And I just love him to death, you know. So, you know, we keep in touch. Keep in touch with mostly everybody. Went, you know, move on as the years go on. But we still keep in touch. It was really a time in all of our lives that it's never going to come around again. You know, you do other shows and been on other casts, but not like this, you know. Once in a lifetime.
Look forward to seeing you in Chicago at the Athenaeum
September 6th. Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure talking to you. We'll see you then.
All right, Steve. Thank you.